Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Name, image, and likeness legislation moves through the Louisiana legislature. It's authored by Pat Connick, a state senator from Jefferson Parish, and Pat joins us. Pat, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Noah? Good to be here.
Pat, thank you so much for joining us today. Obviously, NIL is talked about as it relates to collegiate athletics a lot. We had previously passed a bill that was a lot more restrictive, and I guess what we're finding out now is a lot of other states are more expansive, which brings about your new bill to try and, make sure that we can remain competitive.
Precisely. You know, we were going to run with the bill in 2020 session, but COVID hit, so we waited on that. Then we ran it last year, and we were ahead of the game. We were, you know, right with California being one of the first states in the nation to have the NIL rules. And the law that we passed was from a collaboration with all the universities around the state. And we thought that the NCAA was going to come back with some rules, and they didn't. And so that forced us to revisit our law that we passed and remove some of the restrictions that we put on ourselves last year. So taking these restrictions off will make us more competitive and staying at the forefront of this issue.
When we open this up, is there any concern on your part when we make these improvements to the bill so that we can remain competitive? One of the provisions is that the contract, the NIL contract with the player itself, would be confidential. If we have right, participation yes. by public employees that are helping and facilitating and educating, any concern about that?
I do not. I think it's a good idea the agreement is between the individual student and the business and the company right. that they're contracting with. That's between them. And I don't think the public has a need or right to know what the details of that deal are. You know, the schools are helping them facilitate, but it's a private contract, and, you know, it could be abused by others who want to see what's going on with these individual students. And I think that's a necessary provision that the students like and the businesses like.
Yeah. In a perfect world, probably wouldn't want to do it. But the fact of the matter is that we're trying to hold on to our athletes, right? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out with NIL and where we're going to go with it, especially relative to transfer portals and everything else. So I guess you have to put these safeguards and guardrails in.
Absolutely. You know, the whole idea of this is to set up these students for success, both on the field and in their personal lives. And LSU's and universities around the state are on the forefront of this. These students have the ability to earn a lot of money, and why should we handcuff them from, you know, promoting themselves and their abilities? You know, at the same time, give them an education and let them provide entertainment to, you know, the citizens of the state.
And I understand your motivation, obviously, is to help facilitate our educational system here in the state. Would you have a preference, though, for the NCAA to provide more guardrails?
You know, eventually, Newell, I think this is going to be something that Congress needs to address to make everything uniform around the nation. But until they act, you know, this is necessary legislation to make, you know, our schools competitive. You know, we're taking these restrictions off so we can be like Texas and Florida and these other states who took advantage of those provisions that the NCAA are allowing. You know, this is not pay for play. There's really restrictions still on that. And what we're doing now is putting us in line with what the NCAA is allowing. You know, we still have a prohibition against the students from promoting gaming and gambling and alcohol. You know, they still have an absolute prohibition of pay to play. But what the bill does allows the schools to get more involved in facilitating the deals. It allows the booster groups to create funding like they did in Texas A&M to have a pool of money to attract these students. And it allows individual boosters who really have the best interest of the universities, you know, at heart to get involved with deals with these students. Those are the provisions that are being taken out of the law. Those are the restrictions that would have been taken out of the law, and hopefully will pass by August of this year.
I happen to be talking to an assistant coach at one of the universities here in Louisiana the other day, and he said, if you don't think that the student athletes are aware of the difference in the laws between the states, you're sadly mistaken. They are completely aware of them, and which even highlights the necessity for us to amend ours, right?
Precisely. You know, there's companies out there that are in states, including Louisiana, that have apps that a student can get, put their proposal out, and this company can match them with businesses and create a deal. They do all the contracting. They do all the necessary paperwork. So it's out there, and these kids who know how to, you know, do the social media stuff, they know what's all going on for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand the necessity for the legislation, but I'm disappointed that the NCAA hasn't stepped up and provided more backfill to all of this, because with these disparate treatments under the law, as you pointed out, and that Congress or somebody's going to have to weigh in to have uniformity, this is going to be interesting to see where we are 2 or 3 years from today.
I agree, but we can't sit back and wait for NCAA to move. Otherwise, we'll be behind an eight ball.
But. The competition is intense, right? You have a limited number of athletes. Competition is intense. And look, this is not an easy issue, and I applaud you for taking it on. I also want to applaud you for something else, Pat, and not to beat up on your peers, but you voted the other day on behalf of local government relative to ITEP. And I appreciate that. I've been, you know, when I was an elected official out front on that issue big time, that we should have some say so. And you and Senator Harris are the only two that represent Jefferson Parish that voted, you know, in favor of that bill. And I thank you for doing so on behalf of local elected officials. I think it was important. It's another tough vote, but I appreciate the fact that you voted that way.
When you go up there and you see the amount of money we give away to these industries, it's mind-boggling. And we have the river here, and we have a river that nobody else has, that these companies have to build these plants all along the river because it helps them. It saves them thousands and millions of dollars, billions of dollars over the years. My point is to give something back. Let us educate our kids, at least, so they have the ability to work at these plants. But right now, you know, our school boards are starving for cash to pay these teachers. You know, we got to protect and encourage our industry to come to the state and build, but it's got to be a working relationship and not a one-way street. You know, it's disappointing that we couldn't get that passed, but we got to keep plugging away. But it is what it is.
But you understand the challenges. I mean, when you're in the trenches in local government, that's where it all happens, right? I mean, you've seen it. You've lived it. I mean, that's where you have the biggest impact day in and day out. They know their taxpayer. They know their needs. And I just simply don't understand why anybody believes that a board that's disconnected from local government gets to decide, you know, what taxes they're going to abate for the purposes of economic development. I think there are strong cases to do it, but we ought to have input from locals. And I hear this all the time. We need to do what Texas does. Well, that's not what we're doing, because Texas doesn't allow them to abate taxes for education. So,
one of the major problems, I think, the arguments on their side is that the inventory tax. That's an inventory tax on just equipment sitting around in somebody's yard. It really doesn't make sense to me. And they want to fix that first, and then work with the ITAP. They're thinking that the ITAP is needed to offset these other burdensome taxes that we have in this state. The whole thing needs to be revamped, but I agree, we got to make sure our schools are funded, our police are funded, and the ITAP is preventing that to some extent. The only way this bill will pass, though, is if you get the business associations, like the lobby guys, and to support it. But that's because they're against it. I don't see it going anywhere. If they keep being against it, it's not going to change in the near future.
But, it's just amazing to me, though, that the choice comes down between business and industry and local government. And it's not that local government is just approaching this willy-nilly and saying no to every one of them. That's not what has happened. And when I hear that, it's so difficult to sit down with three different bodies and all of this, and you know as well as I, these publicly traded corporations, when they're out there soliciting investors and they're going on road shows, they're traveling all over the world to get people to invest in their company. And all of a sudden, I mean, this is an investment, right? It's an investment by local government in these companies. All of a sudden, we're a second-class citizen? It's like, well, wait a minute. You're domiciled in our parish, right? I mean, and you're telling me it's inconvenient for you to come talk to us? I mean, that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard of, and they keep saying it over and over and over again.
Listen, again, our business community needs to see that and change their opposition to this and find a solution. But, up in Baton Rouge, a lot of people owe their positions to lobby and these other folks who got them elected. And when you hear business and industry, we need that in the state. But we also need our kids to be educated and our teachers to be paid. And we're at the bottom of that list concerning the pay to our teachers. And until we get that fixed, will always be 49th and 50th,
Absolutely.
It's a shame.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I pointed that out. Pat, these votes are not always easy, but we appreciate the fact that you stepped up for local government. At least I do.
I will continue to do so, because it's important no matter what the political ramifications are.
All righty. Well, thank you, sir. Have a great week. I know you're busy. Y'all are, I guess you see the end of the session. A little bit now. You got about, 3.5 weeks or 3 weeks left?
Yeah, hopefully. It's getting crunch time. The money bills are there, and people are scrambling for projects and funding. We have a lot of money to spend. We must make sure that we spend it right. We have a lot of, needs around the state. The bridge in Baton Rouge is big. The bridge in Lake Charles is big. Those are billion-dollar projects, and we got to make sure we fund it. The rail to New Orleans to Baton Rouge is something we got to look. But those are the projects that if we do get them done, they'll last for generations and will be better for the state.
Game changers, quite frankly, at the end of the day, right?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Pat, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Pat Connick, Louisiana State Senator. He represents Jefferson Parish. We appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870. No Filter Friday. We want to hear from you. Name, image, likeness. Does that impact college football, college sports, college athletics, maybe football and basketball and more than any? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We are back, folks. We'll go to the talk lines. Terry, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Merrill. Your congressman represents that it's not pay for play. It is pay for play. These kids are getting a scholarship, you know, $30,000 a year scholarship to play football, play basketball. And people are going to say, well, you know, Alabama and Ohio State, they're the same teams in the Final Four every year. You don't think they're going to be the same teams in the Final Four from now on? Because the schools that got the most money are going to pay the most money. Texas A&M has got more money than any university in the country. And they proved it when they got out and recruited these kids, okay? No matter what they say, they tried to take the boosters out of football years ago because the boosters would pay the players on the side. You got to think, they've been going down in the high school and recruiting these kids now. So when they go to an Alabama, Ohio State, a Texas A&M, they're already lined up their scholarship. They're already lined up their money. If they don't think it's pay for play, when, it, you know, they're paying these kids to play football. What about, okay, I got a girl on a soccer team. How much money she's going to get? Okay, that's the problem they're going to have. It's ridiculous. These are amateur athletes. They're not professionals. They got kids at LSU making $10,000 just to go sign a card at a car dealership because that's who they with. Yeah, I'm sorry, but this is the ruination of college athletics because the rich teams are going to get richer and the poor teams are going to be just where they are before. You think Tulane is going to be able to be in the same boat as an Alabama, a Texas A&M? I'm not a Tulane fan, but schools like that, they're not going to get – they're going to get the worst players they can get because they ain't going to have no money to pay these kids.
Well, part of the problem has always been and will always be, Terry, and I think you're right, the NCAA is not concerned about adopting policies to create parity. I mean, when you think about the NFL with salary caps and this and that, it's about creating parity of big markets, small markets, you know, and doing that. But the NCAA has never been about that, and you're right. It's gonna only embolden it even more and support it even more of these big teams and the ability to market these kids. What I don't like and is that it right now the way the NCAA's silence on the issue is that it's totally unregulated. There's no cap as to what a kid can sign these contracts for with businesses right now, and they've really not set up silos. Like when you think about, you know, a promotional deal or a public appearance or going to a skill camp or, you know, hiring them to go do whatever, there's no cap on any of these types of activities that are involved. So you're right. I mean, if you're in areas that have big companies that are really big into football and you're fortunate enough and don't think these kids aren't going to be looking for that because this is very much going to become a recruiting tool in many respects. Those places that have that big money there and as you pointed out, big booster companies in their university, they're going to win, no doubt about it, Terry.
Merrill, let me ask you a question. Let's see. I'm recruiting you as a football player, and I'll offer you this much money. But in Starkville, Mississippi, who would want to live in Starkville, Mississippi? I'm sorry, Mississippi State fans. Who would want to live in Oxford, Mississippi? Wouldn't you want to live in California? I mean, Houston, Texas. Texas A&M is outside of Houston, Texas. Who wants to live in Starkville? Who wants to play for Starkville? They got money. What they get? They gonna teach you how to raise cattle? but that's about it. This is money, a money grab by the universities and the players, and it's, to me, it's the ruination of college athletics.
Well, I would disagree with you here. It's not a money grab by the universities, because consider the following. You have big company boosters that now can give money directly to players. So players now are competing against the university. Now, the university is going to be the beneficiary if they're able to lure top quality blue chip players to their universities. I get that. But with a lot of these dollars, of whether or not it's going into university coffers or the pockets of the individual players, that's a conflict. And then you have the transfer portal issue. So if they promise you so many endorsement deals or whatever, and I don't know that they can promise it, and I'm not sure what the NCAA, how they're going to deal with that. But the fact of the matter is if you go and you don't get what you want, or let's say a big corporation that is there as a big booster sells to yet another corporation who decides not to be a big booster, and you lose that endorsement deal, what are you going to do if there's not another one behind it? You're going to go look for a team where you can get one. And so unless we align transfer portal rules to all of this, this could be a free-for-all. This is almost like an auction. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And that's why when I was talking with Senator Pat Connick, and I understand exactly what he did, because until this all fleshes itself out, we got to stay competitive, because if you don't do anything, it could take years to catch back up. And the fact of the matter is that you got to stay competitive. And that's why I'm incredibly disappointed in the NCAA for not stepping up and dealing with this. They have to know all of these issues. I mean, I'm not that big, in following sports every day, day by day by day by day, but I understand business enterprises. And when I look at these silos and opportunities and profit centers out there for these athletes, and there's no cap, and you can negotiate whatever you want, I can tell you what's going to happen. Abuse. And it's going to be interesting to see. And then it's a good thing we pay coaches a lot of money, and I don't feel sorry for them at all. Maybe they're going to earn their keep now, trying to keep all of this together inside of that locker room where you got all of this free-flowing money running around out there. Get ready. There will be mutinies in some of these locker rooms. We may not ever hear about it, but I promise you that it will exist for sure. No doubt about it. Terry, thank you so much for the call. Got to get to a break. 504-260-1870. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about NIL? Name, image, likeness. Where do you think this is going? Going to be interesting, if nothing else. And we'll talk about some other issues as well on No Filter Friday. The phone lines are yours. Give us a call. We'll be right back. We are back, folks. We've been talking about NIL. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. If Dudley DeBosier wants to give Kayshawn and his buddy some money just to throw a football around with him on TV, more power to them. You know, it's these poor kids. They're going to get some money. I'd rather see that than them just standing in front of a courthouse smiling at each other. I mean, it's not going to change the landscape of the programs. We already figured all that out. The same teams are going to be the powerhouses. Now, maybe the Harvards of the world might be able to lure some, better athletes there, which is not a bad thing, maybe. But, I mean, it's basically, think about it, most of your star athletes are poor kids. Rich kids don't play football out in the street anymore. They don't play home run derby out in the park during the hot part of the day anymore. It's poor kids that are doing this. It's the poor kids that are good athletes. Let them enjoy some of this money for once and for all.
Well, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that the danger here is that it's completely and totally unregulated. And that's the problem. I mean, they're not putting caps on any of this. So in reality, and this is a strong possibility, you will actually have collegiate athletes that make more than the minimum required for NFL rookies that are not, you know, the star athletes that are going into the NFL.
Is there something wrong with that?
Well, the reality is this. If you think about it from a public university standpoint, I would venture to say I think a lot of taxpayers are saying, well, why am I funding your education then? If you have this ability to go out there and make six figures and you're reaping the benefits not only of your talent but of folks' association with the university that you go to, you're leveraging our public tax dollars of public universities in order to line your pocket. So why should you go free of charge? Why don't we give your scholarship to some other poor individual that's not going to be in the same position?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that. Then fix it to that. You know, let them get the scholarship if they get a million dollar contract with Nike.
But as we're talking about this more and more, you see a number of the inequities begin to reveal themselves and things that are a little bit contrary to common sense, right? I mean, I just gave you an example. You agree. But the fact of the matter is that the NCAA, I think, is failing us. I think they're failing these kids. And this is much broader than just the star athletes. If you don't think for a moment that there's going to be a jealousy factor that's running through these locker rooms of these star kids that are driving around in high-priced vehicles or free vehicles or free cheap vehicles, and the rest of the team, the tight end who is out there, you know, in the heat of the sun doing everything as well and getting nothing, you're sadly mistaken.
The quality
of what's happening out there, it's going to be, if I think it's going to be impaired. I don't think it's going to disrupt the powerhouses, because the only saving grace the NCAA has is that the star athletes all want to get to where? The NFL. And the rite of passage is through the NCAA.
Maybe, but they might stay in the college ranks longer if they get paid for it.
Well, I mean, yet another thing to be considered is, you know, red shirt, this, that, you know, the whole 9 yards of extending this out. You put a lot of leverage in the hands of these kids, and as I said, the transfer portal, I think, is going to be a problem. If things don't come out the way that they thought they were when they arrive at a university, watch how fast they're going to be going somewhere else.
To me, the bottom line is it's going to be getting money into poor kids' hands, and what's wrong with that? No, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Look, I don't disagree. I mean, the universities and others, I mean, let me tell you what's upside down here. When the defensive back coach at LSU makes more money than the governor of the state of Louisiana, something's wrong. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
something is wrong. And, you know, we got our priorities are, and look, I'm as much a football fan as everybody else, and more power to the defensive back coach at LSU. But something's wrong about our priorities when the governor's office has such an impact on the day-to-day lives of the citizens of the state of Louisiana, and he touches more lives in an hour than that defensive back coach is going to touch in 20 years.
Well, and I agree with you. I agree that it's all upside down and screwed up, but this little thing with the athletes getting paid, I think, is a small, very, very small, insignificant piece of the whole puzzle. I mean, there's not that many kids that are, you know, it's not that many kids. You know, my kids played playground ball. My kids, some of them played high school ball. None of them played college ball. And, you know, the kid, amount of kids that make it to the pro ranks, it's even more insignificant.
Oh, it's de minimis.
We're talking about a very small group group of people here.
It's no, not, I get it.
I don't think it's that important.
I get it.
I say give them the money. Give it all to them. They need it. The country needs it.
Well,
the poor kids up to a little more playing level playing field.
I'm almost at the point where I think it's a much better approach to say, we're going to pay you $25,000 a year to play collegiate athletics, and everybody's going to get $25,000 a year. You know, and call it a day. You know, because the trials and tribulations. Look, I went to undergrad 11 years part time at night. I mean, that was like a death march. I mean, you know,
I did the same thing.
That's what I had to do. I financed my own education. I worked
UNO every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Well, we probably crossed paths. I don't know how old you are.
I'm just a few years older than you. I know
we may have crossed paths there, you know, but you know, look, it's hard on a good day. I mean, it's a lot of sacrifice, but I think you and I and others are much better for having had the experience, quite frankly.
Let me tell you something. If somebody would said to me, hey, you don't have to work at UPS from 4 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the morning and go to UNO after that and work and study till, you know, 10 o'clock at, you know, get off at 9 instead of 10 o'clock at night. We're just going to pay you to be a superstar athlete. I would have jumped on it in the New York second.
So, Chuck, don't tell me you worked at UPS.
Yep. For four years until I fell asleep driving to work one morning and I decided that was the end of that.
I did.
Yeah, at the Dowman Road office.
Dowman Road. I washed the trucks every night from 8:30 to 11:30. Every evening.
We were probably as a not second, there at the same time.
As a second job.
Oh. Yeah, I did.
That was a second job that I had. Yeah, I was there. No, you were there before me.
No, sometimes 74 to 76 I did it.
Yeah.
No, I was on the preload shift and I was a guy at the end of the slide when the guys threw the packages on the slide. I had to repair.
Yep.
I was on the damage control. I had to fix the packages and find out why they didn't get delivered that day.
Well, I was the guy that pulled the truck out of the bay, went and gassed it, checked the oil, brought it to the wash rack, and then did that whole thing all over again, backed them in, back into those slots up against the conveyor belt.
Did you know Rick Dillon?
No. No. Let me tell you, we had so much we had to do packed into 3 hours. I couldn't name two people that I met the whole time I worked there because I had no time to converse. I mean, it was like, I needed to get this done. I mean, if I screwed up backing up many times, I was working for free. So, you know, it was just, you know, it got to be an art. But, Chuck, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Let's go to David real quick. David, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Many right-wingers oppose mandates when it comes to the vaccine. There's one crazy talk show host I've heard thinks it's killing people by the thousands. Now, Danny McCormick would evidently, if he had his way, and I think the bill died, thank God for that, would force a woman who's raped to give birth. Now, I had a girlfriend for 23 years, and she gave birth to our child. And when she was experiencing childbirth, she suffered from toxemia, which is a condition many women suffer when giving birth that sends their blood pressure through the ceiling, destroys their kidneys. My dear girlfriend died. Now, that was a voluntary pregnancy, but how can anyone who opposes vaccine mandates, on the other hand, tell a woman, if you're raped, you have to give birth, knowing that birth could kill you? Now, isn't that hypocritical, Sheriff?
Well, it's obviously a flawed perspective. I understand what McCormick is saying, and it's more about when does a life start? And where does it start? He's saying it starts in a test tube. I don't necessarily believe that. And I think there are a lot of scientific complex issues with this whole notion, not a notion, but this whole concept of where life starts. And I just think that this was the wrong bill. I don't think it was a good bill, and I'm glad he pulled it and put it back on the calendar after it was amended, because I don't think that we're looking at some of the practical outcomes of what it is that the point that he was trying to make. And it was an exercise that we really didn't have to have here in Louisiana at this point in time, quite frankly. Thank you so much, David, for the call. Got to get to a break. I apologize. We'll be right back. The NOPD announces that it's going to 12-hour shifts, and we wonder what is the reaction of the rank and file of the organization. Donovan Levicari joins us. He's the attorney for the Fraternal Order of Police. When we come back after the break, this is Newell on WWL.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.